Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we extol you and praise your name forever. Every day, but especially on this day, we recognize and affirm that you are the source of all our good. We will praise your perfect character as long as we have breath. You are great and deserve to be greatly praised. We gather, Lord, today as many generations, with one generation commending your works to another. We take the opportunity of this day to declare your mighty acts of creation and redemption, Lord, as you have called us into your presence. And we, Lord, will hear of the glorious splendor of your majesty and bow in your presence, for you are our God, our Redeemer, and our King. We thank you, O Lord, for supplying us with your word. Bless your word to us now through your Holy Spirit. And bless your servant also. Give him what he stands in need of to proclaim that word. And we give you all thanks and praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we ask this. Amen. Well, I encourage you to turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. As we return, as our custom often is, with our home visitation passage to look at it again for a second time in the new year. Ephesians 6 and verses 10 to 18 is our home visitation passage. We're going to be looking at verse 13 for our text for this morning. Actually, verse 14 will be our text for this morning. We'll see those words in context, beginning our reading at verse 10 of Ephesians 6, and then reading down to verse 20. That's found on page 1347 of the Pew Bible. Hear now God's holy word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that concludes the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. So again, our text for this morning is Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Dealing with that first piece of armor of God. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the British are known for talking about the weather. The common saying there is, if you don't like the weather conditions, wait a bit and things just might change for the better. Maybe cloudy and rainy 1 hour, but before you know it, the sun will start to shine. And indeed, it is true. Sunny skies can turn in a moment, but wait a little bit longer. After the rain falls, the sun will come out once again. And this seems to be the way that a lot of people talk about the weather. You think of the people who live in BC, British Columbia, the West Coast, or as it sometimes is referred to as the Wet Coast. Wait a bit, and you can count on there to be a change. So you better have an umbrella handy because you can count on it to rain. Well, if there's one thing that you can count on with the Christian life, it is spiritual warfare. Sooner or later, Satan will attack you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of this dark world. Satan wants to dominate you and hold you under the power of sin. Satan wants you to die in your sin and end up in hell with him. He wants people all around you to perish. He wants them believing in false religion. He wants everyone to be at peace with the sinful world. But there will be no peace in our time. There can't be peace. We must fight. We're in a spiritual warfare until Jesus Christ comes again. But thankfully, we're not alone. The Lord is the one who gives us strength. And as we look at this passage, we see that there is equipment that He has provided us with. It is the armor of God. It is armor that comes from God. Something that He Himself has already worn. How do we know this? Well, if we look at the Old Testament, we already see these pieces of armor mentioned, and it's the Lord Himself who wears them. For example, the belt of truth is the belt that girds the Messianic King in Isaiah 11, verse 5. The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation come from the divine warrior's arsenal, which is mentioned in Isaiah 59, verse 17. The feet shod with gospel readiness are the feet of those who proclaim the arrival of the Messiah's kingdom in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. God Himself is the shield of faith, we read in Genesis chapter 15. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is the weapon wielded by the promised servant of the Lord, as we read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 49. And that helps us tremendously because this means that the Lord has already fought the battle for us. By faith in Him, we're standing in His victory and what He's done. Well, another general comment about the armor itself, there are six pieces that are listed here. Basically, there are two ways of dividing them. Some pieces are fixed and strapped to the body. You need the belt worn tightly. You need the breastplate upon you firmly. It's got to be connected with your body. The same thing for your feet shod with the gospel. It's something that has to be on tight. It's their common feature. However, some of the other pieces are not fixed to the body, like the shield and the sword. They are taken up by your hand, by your hands rather. There's a required need to take these pieces in hand. In other words, most of the armor here is defensive by nature. The belt, the breastplate, the boots, the shield, and the helmet can ward off Satan's blows and defend you against his attacks. But the offensive weapon is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It is, of course, defensive as well, but it is what you're to use to be offensive, to be on the offensive, because that's really how you can puncture Satan, through the Word of God, holding that truth. And so this morning we're going to be just looking at the first piece that's on this list, the belt of truth. Consider God's word this morning from Ephesians 6, verse 14, under the theme, gird your waist with the belt of truth. And we'll look at this with 3 points, 3 questions. First of all, what is the belt of truth? Secondly, why gird yourself with it? And thirdly, how do you gird yourself? Well, the first question here is, what is the belt of truth? Is this talking about truthfulness? Is it talking about being sincere? Well, you can be thankful, or rather, you can be truthful, rather, and sincere. But being sincere is not a very reliable piece of equipment against the devil. You can be sincere all you want, but you will be defeated and your campaign will be lost if it's just about sincerity. It has to be more than sincerity, because in this modern world, there are many who say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You believe one thing about God, I believe another. But we're all essentially approaching the same God from different sides. In reality, people who say it doesn't matter what you believe about God as long as you're sincere are those to whom it doesn't matter what you believe about God. But if there is a God who's designed this whole cosmos and human history with a purpose so that the chief end of man is to glorify God, then what you believe is a matter of supreme importance. The Bible unambiguously states that it matters what you believe. Christianity is not simply one way of many paths that lead to God. It is the truth. And that's why it's important to see that here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The designation of the term truth in Ephesians 6:14 is the belief in the truth as that truth is found in Jesus Christ. It's objective truth. It's not subjective truth. It's what is objective. And we find that to be the case when we look at the rest of Scripture. For example, John 8 verse 30. John 8 verse 30 and following. Jesus is having a conversation with the Jews. It says there in those verses, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You notice how Jesus says it there. But notice the terminology. Jesus talks about the truth. The truth is the whole system of Christian doctrine in its entirety. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth that will set you free from the tyranny of the devil. Consider also the Lord's words in the so-called high priestly prayer that's found in John chapter 17. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples in this way. He said, sanctify them. How? Sanctify them by your truth. And then he added, your word is truth. Sanctification is by the truth, and it comes by the word. And that fits certainly with this section in the book of Ephesians. This is the teaching part, the application part, where the Apostle Paul is directing words of instruction so that God's people will be sanctified. The Apostle Paul has delivered words of exhortation to the church there, calling them to holiness, to holy living, to Christian living in the home, to Christian lifestyle, holy living in the world. The point is, Christianity claims loud and clear to be the truth. It is the truth that will set you free. Without it, you would be lost. Without it, you would have no settled convictions. Your life would be full of uncertainties and doubts. You would have no clarity. And you would have no convictions, no certainties, and no clarity. If you don't have that, then you have no hope. You have nothing to hang your hat on, as it were. There's nothing to govern your life. It's all loosey-goosey. It's oblivious. It doesn't really matter. And that's why the very first piece of equipment that is listed here is the belt of truth. It's the logical place to start. It's the piece of equipment that holds everything else in place. It's the very first piece of equipment because it also helps us to face the enemy. The enemy is all about confusion and leading people astray with regard to what we believe. He's a liar. He's a murderer and an accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's our adversary. And he uses error to attack us. So how do you stand against him? Well, by putting on the truth. If you don't put on the truth, then you'll be defeated before you even begin to start the fight. If you have no truth, then you have already lost the battle. God uses truth to protect us. So the first thing that we have to put on is the belt of truth. Consider that truth is needed in every area. It tells us what we have. It tells us that we have an eternal future. It protects us from the deadly lie that this life is all that there is. It tells us who God really is and what God is really like, saving us from idol worship and false worship. It tells us who we are as creatures made in God's image and as fallen sinners, protecting us from too high of an opinion of ourselves. It shows us ultimate reality in Jesus Christ, protecting us from putting anything else on the throne of our hearts. Well, if that is what the truth is, then secondly, why gird yourself with it? Why put it around your waist? Well, we have to remember the customs of the day, the clothing that they wore. In those days, when people wore long, flowing robes, the belt helped the person to walk around and not be encumbered by their clothing. And we know that from our own way of dressing as well. Belts are not just worn for adornment or decoration. Belts help us with what? They basically help us to keep our pants on. It'd be pretty challenging to fight if your pants kept falling down. So the belt had a function, we could say. It's kind of like people wearing a Genevan gown or a graduation gown. You can't exactly do much if you've got your graduation gown on. So the purpose of a belt was to gather up all the parts of those garments that were loose. And when a man was sitting down and relaxed, he would take off his belt. But the moment he wanted to become active, he gathered his garments together and got himself prepared. Otherwise, he would be constantly stepping on his loose clothing and they would be getting in the way. And so the very first thing that a soldier did was he put on his belt so that he would be better equipped and be able to act better as a soldier. And isn't that the way that the Apostle Peter uses this type of thinking, describing it in this way? He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why would Peter say that? Gird up the loins of your mind. Well, he's thinking about the clothing that people wore at that time. It's the same idea. He applies it spiritually. We're to gather the loins of our minds. Long robes were an impediment to action. So in the same way, we need to unclutter our minds. Our minds affect our hearts. And that's why when you make an effort to read the Bible, what can so easily happen is your mind can begin to wander. Satan will bring as many distractions as he can. The appointments of the day or the to-do list will come to mind. Or you will feel the urgent need to check your phone and to see who's emailing you or who's texting you right now. Does that sound familiar? It's kind of distractions. It's because the devil hates the truth and he will do anything he can to distract you from it. You have to fight it. Stop looking at those texts. Don't worry about your schedule. Stop checking last night's hockey game. Put your phone away. You have to focus. Focus your attention away from the distractions. Gird up the loins of your minds. Another reason, though, for the belt, not just for function, but it is for action. A soldier needs to be able to move about freely so that he's able to hold the shield of faith in one hand and the sword of the Spirit in the other. He need not be afraid that he will trip or fall so that he doesn't get tangled up in his garments. We find that picture elsewhere in Scripture in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus warned his disciples to be watchful, wary, and careful. Luke chapter 12, verse 35 says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In other words, be ready for action. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. There's no doubt that's why Peter later on says in 1 Peter 5, verse 9, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to be ready for action, alert, being doers of God's word, not just hearers, but doers. James chapter 1. And there's another side to this usage. It has to do with defense. You need protection. This piece of equipment that a soldier wore provided some support as a way of protecting him. The truth is what protects us and guides us. We need this so much. We can only be prepared and ready and on guard against the wiles of the devil when we know that it is the Lord who is guarding us. And how does he guard us? He uses the truth. That's why the cry of a child of God is always looking to the Lord for guidance and strength. He looks to the word because he needs it. Like Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there's great reward. You need the truth because it keeps you from the lies of Satan. It guards you against the falsehoods and corruptions of the devil. We need that bedrock foundation of the truth. And another passage comes to mind about that too. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 just explains our security in the Lord in such a powerful way. And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Scripture gives us truth with which we can answer Satan and stand up against his schemes. But like a belt, it doesn't do us any good if we leave it hanging in the closet. We have to put it on every day. In the same way, we in our covenant families need that truth daily and always. That's what's going to protect little Ruth. It's that truth. Our minds are not always fresh. We keep forgetting things. Also, our hearts are like leaky containers. They're not always holding that truth. They need to be freshened up every day. Day by day, we need to fill our minds with the fresh quantity of God's truth found in the Bible so that we'll be better equipped against the lies of our adversary. So how about you? Are you daily in the Word? As fathers, are you being spiritual heads of your homes, leading your families in devotions? And if you're not, do you expect to be able to stand against the onslaught of evil forces working against you? Well, you know the answer to that. You need to be in the Word daily. For that is what will equip you against the battle. Well, that brings us to our third question and our third point, which is, how do you gird yourself? How do you gird yourself? Well, there are two parts to that answer. One is individually, and the other is as members of the congregation. How do you do that as a congregation? How do we do that as a congregation? Well, the answer to this is to hold to a standard of truth. We need a standard of what is true and what is false. The idea of doctrine is not always that popular nowadays. People prefer to be united by their own ideas that are not necessarily biblical. And the slogan that you often hear sometimes is, doctrine divides. Let's not get into doctrine, let's get united by our experience. Well, the problem with that is once you start pushing away the truth and make it your standard, your experiences or your version of the truth can open you up into all kinds of attacks. You know, it's very easy to pray, oh God, unite us and make us one. But who prays today, O Lord, save us from false teaching and heresy and doctrine and the wolves in sheep's clothing? Give us the courage to stand against error. And yet we need to pray that. Once you start throwing away doctrine, you open yourself right up to all kinds of attacks. Just consider the story of the Christian church. And you will find that certain councils were held. Christian leaders came together from different parts of the world. And what happened? Well, they had to defend what they believed from the Bible. There were heretics that had arisen. False teachers. False teaching was being propagated. And they had the gall to say that they were Christians. But the early church had to meet together to uphold and defend the truth. And the Holy Spirit led them. They were solemn councils. And in those councils, they defined what heresy was and condemned it. And they excommunicated those who taught it. If they had not done so, there wouldn't be a church today. We wouldn't be in existence. And neither would there be any creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. The church made sure of the teaching. That's why it was sound. It made clear what the church believed about God. All these creeds came into being the same way. So that's one way of girding the loins of your minds, by upholding what the church holds. The same thing happened, as you know, during periods when the church needed reformation and revival. We think of the Reformation. The Reformation brought all kinds of resurgence and revival for the truth, not only in our three forms of unity, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, and the Belgic Confession, but also the Augsburg Confession. And later on, the Second Helvetic Confession, which were written around the same time. As well, the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms in the 17th century, written by the Westminster Assembly. The church has always seen the need to revive. Why? Because truth matters. If you don't uphold the standards of God's word and believe it, then you open yourself up to attack. Besides, it's not true to say that doctrine divides. That's a false statement, by the way. It's far better and biblical to say that truth unites. The truth brings the church together. It upholds us and defines us, even more so today, where there's so much confusion and error around us. Well, how does that help us? Truth matters. Falsehood is a poison. It's toxic. Lies are always toxic. You know what 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says about this. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you begin to be wrong in your doctrine and what you say and teach, you become corrupted. Evil company corrupts good habits. It will lead to bad practice and bad behavior. And eventually, you'll become shipwrecked in the faith. Error in doctrine is always fatal, both in the life of the individual and the life of the church. That's why the church needs to be equipped. Christ has given her apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the positive side. The negative side, Ephesians 4, says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Well, how then do you wear this personally today? How do you wear this belt? Well, when it comes to you personally wearing the belt, one thing you can be sure of is this is God's armor. As we said before, this armor comes from Christ. He's already worn it in battle. We have that image portrayed for us in Isaiah 11 verse 5, where it says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. It's describing a king who would come to rescue God's people, coming as a warrior. That's greatly needed because of the toxic effects of sin. We're corrupted by sin. And we need God's righteousness and faithfulness. And this is what Christ has done. And that applies to Ephesians 6 as well. We've been called to put on this armor. But the amazing thing is, this armor has already been worn by another, by someone greater. These items of warfare are not all pristine and clean. They've been bloodied in the battle. And Christ has won the victory. The righteousness that Christ girded himself brought him to the cross. There was a price to be paid. The faithfulness that he wore brought him to be faithful all the way to the Father's perfect will for him. Even there on the cross, Satan continued to throw lies, using the people there. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. This man said he was the King of the Jews, but didn't stop Jesus. He held to the truth as the suffering Son of God, even when the darkness of the sky overhead seemed to tell a different story. Christ's final words were, "If it is finished, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And that's a truth that we can cling on to today. Do you have your belt on? Put it on. Put it on regularly. And be equipped for the battle. For then you will be set free from the tyranny of the devil. For the truth shall set you free indeed. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Merciful God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Thank you for revealing to us the truth. And help us to uphold this and to be diligent in our use of this truth in our own personal lives, growing closer to you through your word. Thank you again for that reminder. And may we, Lord, be equipped for this battle. Thank you for this piece of armor. We pray that you would help us to put the full armor of God on. Grant to us your grace once again today. As those who are needy again of forgiveness and grace, thank you for Jesus Christ and how he wore this armor, giving his life for us and fought the battle already as this armor has been bloodied and passed on to us. Hear our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.